Welcome to the Inspired Teacher's Guide podcast. We are Kim Wilkins and Laura Wolfridge, just two teachers joined the podcast. We are so glad that you've joined us.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back.
Hi, everybody. All right, Kim. We are
trying to finish this school year. That's what we're trying to do. Finish on the same note we started.
That's right, to finish strong. It's just so busy right now.
Oh my goodness, yes. Meetings, you know, there's all kinds of meetings. And then mm-hmm. there's testing, which we begin next week.
And trying to think, it seems like everybody is tilting their attention to next year. But yes. Also trying to think about this year at the same time. So,
yeah, I mapped out, I think I might have said this the last time, but I mapped out like what I need to get taught this year. Mm-hmm. My kids need to learn before the end of the year. And it's going to work. And I'll have time for extra review at the end. So we're all good. It's all good.
Like, thank goodness.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, guys, we are going to hop into the content today. I do not want you to press stop. The content of today may make you be very reflective and may cause you to be a little bit uncomfortable, but don't.
But that's press where growth stop. Happens. Growth exactly. happens, yes, when it's exactly. uncomfortable.
So Kim and I have something's kind of been on our hearts and minds a lot lately. I would say probably a year ago, you and I started discussing this just in our conversations. Mm-hmm. We've been troubled by all the negativity that really we see out in the world. The news is full of it. Conversations are full of it. Social media is. Just about things in general, but especially about education. And so we're going to dive deep into it today.
Yeah. It's on the news, it's on the radio, it's on social media so bad. And just in conversations, I noticed right now, everybody's tired. The kids are tired. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. But everywhere we go, the conversations tend to focus on what's negative. And who was it who said people are usually about as happy as they make up their minds to be? Was that Abraham Lincoln? I think I just paraphrased that. But
that's a really good quote.
It is. I think that's Abraham Lincoln.
Say that again.
People are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Yeah. So you can choose to be at peace and happy and joyful and just take those negative thoughts away. And it is hard to do. It isn't easy.
Yeah.
It isn't easy when we're being bombarded in news and social media with mm-hmm. just everything's negative. And that's why I don't watch the news. Things happen. People will talk about it. I'm like, what are you talking about? It may be irresponsible, but I figure if it's important enough, I'll hear about it.
That's right. That's right. I think what I've noticed about negativity is it seeps into us slowly. You know, it's kind of like what is the analogy where the frog in the hot water doesn't realize it's boiling until, you know.
It's too late, yeah.
I think it seeps in, you know, from different outlets and inputs. And then it settles in us. And then it spreads in us. Mm-hmm. And then it really spreads not only in the workplace, I think, but or at home, it's going to cross boundaries and go into all areas of our lives. It just seems to grow and grow and grow. So, you know, I was thinking, listeners, I was trying to make up a catchy little phrase for it, and I couldn't do that. That's more Kim's style. I really want to, like, I would love to make this a challenge, like one of those hashtag challenges, to challenge yourself, maybe grab some friends, your work crew or whatever, to start being very aware, not even asking you to change anything, but just starting to become very aware of negativity. So catching yourself with your talk, doing some input checks, you know, is your social media full of negativity talking about teaching? Are your friends full of negativity at Girls Night? You know, like, is your lunch bunch full of negativity talking about teaching your kids? And just to become aware, because I just think it's just an infection.
It's going to
get worse. It's going to spread. And you cannot let things spoil you. Or what did you say last week? Like, suck you in. Don't get sucked in with
to the dark side.
To the dark side.
Like Star Wars. Don't go over to the dark side.
Yeah. So, and you know, you may realize that you've made it to the dark side, but there's light there. Just think about the eclipse the other day. Those of you who were in totality, you know, even just the light could not be hidden. There was always a little bit of light. And so if you realize that you have been sucked into the dark side, there's light there, friends. Start crawling out.
That's true, Lauren. I think one thing you have helped me with is really what I'm listening to, our podcast that we listen to, and books that you and I are both reading.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that scarcity book about the scarcity brain. And then I've been listening to Bob Goff. I'm obsessed with Bob Goff. I said something to Lindsay yesterday. And she goes, okay, so now we're quoting Bob Goff all the time. And I said, yeah, I think so. I think that's what we're going to do. But I really think that helps me. What I read and listen to has a huge impact on me as a person.
Mm.
I don't know if everybody is that way. My husband tends to be a little more skeptical. So what he reads, he always says, yeah, he can filter through and kind of look at other sides of it.
Uh-huh.
I really have to be cautious. And so I've determined that I'm going to fill myself with books and podcasts that build up positive thinking in me.
Mm-hmm. And music, and just, you know.
Yeah, music, yes.
The outdoors, just trying to really check ourselves, because I'm afraid that so much of our inputs are negative. And so we really have to combat it. We are going to have to intentionally fight this negativity.
Yeah.
So, and I just think about it. It is going to influence our students. It just will. If it's a disease in us, it's going to spread over to those little kids. And when I say little kids, that may mean seniors or college students or adult learners. You know your students. It is going to happen. So, okay, Kim has gathered some ideas for us today.
Well, you and I studied this book a long time ago.
Yeah, I'd completely forgotten about it until Kim reminded me.
I would have too, but I found it when I moved. I was like, oh man, that was a good book. It's called The No Complaining Rule. And it is really that mindset of, I'm just going to have, it's hard to do.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to let myself complain. The goal is not to eliminate all the complaining. It's to eliminate that mindless complaining. I catch myself thinking I'm tired, and then I'll think to myself, I'm not tired. I'm just being lazy right now. I'm not tired.
I think this is genius right here, that phrase, mindless complaining. You know, when we see each other, when we're eating lunch or when we're out with friends or whatever, I think if it can easily turn into mindless complaining.
That's right. It's not justified. It doesn't have a purpose. There's no purpose in it. It's just, my mother would have called it mully grubbin. You're just mully grubbin. Yeah.
Oh man. So remember, we're not saying to you guys, don't ever complain. I mean, that's just not realistic. And
no. Yes,
we do need to share our burdens, you know, and share thoughts. But the mindless complaining that doesn't serve, and you know, and they say in that book, the difference is intent.
Yes.
You know, with mindless complaining, you're just focused on your problems. But with a justified complaint, you're going beyond the problem. You're looking for a solution.
Exactly.
And yes. So, you know, if we're eating lunch together, Kim, of course things are going to pop up that we're struggling with, but we can push each other to not just dwell only in the problem, but to try to get out of it. Yeah.
What can we do differently to make that a non-issue or improve it?
Right.
It'll still be an issue, but we can improve it.
Because it will always be a complaint. It will always be a burden if we're only focused on the problem, you know?
Yeah.
Oh.
So the first kind of strategy is the but. But so I have really been trying this. It is a way of turning our complaints into positives. So when you realize you're complaining, just simply add the word, but I, so here's an example. I don't like driving to work for an hour, but I'm thankful that I can drive and that I have a job.
Right.
I don't like driving. In fact, whenever I go with anybody else, I'm like, do you want to drive? I mean, I'll buy the gas. I'm fine, but I just don't want to do the driving. I don't like that I'm out of shape, but I love feeling great. So I'm going to focus on exercising and eating right.
Yes. I was just thinking about that because Brock and I are really trying to get healthy. And so the exercising, you know, I don't like to get up early and work out, but it is a great way to get it done and I can feel accomplished. And I'm really working out not for my current self, but for my future self. So if I'm always thinking of those things, it's like, oh, okay, you know, it's just helping our brains.
It is. It's giving us a better brain. Bob Goff, in his book Undistracted, talks about how these complaints, they are distracting us from our goal.
Oh.
So our goal is to be healthy, right?
Right.
So when I complain about being tired or I don't like getting up early, that is just a distraction that takes us away from our goal, what we're really trying to do.
Okay, let's think about this for the classroom. You know, my stinker kid or kids or groups, you know, thinking about if I'm just always complaining about them, then it's really distracting me from really even identifying the true issue. I'm just complaining about the kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I love that. Complaints are distractions.
Yes. That book, Undistracted, is really good.
Okay.
About living an undistracted life and just staying focused on your goals. And so my goal, I had an issue this morning with a student. He was just trying to, I know what he's doing because we've studied it so much, but he is trying to connect with his peers.
Uh-huh.
And I had to keep him after class. I sent the others back and I kept him. I said, call him David, because that's my son's name. David, listen, I know you want the kids to think you're funny and having a good time. And there are times for that. It's not in here.
Right.
You know, when you're at recess or when we have free time or something like that, that's fine. But not while I'm teaching, not while we're trying to learn, because it distracts everybody else from learning. So I know you're smart and I know you're a good kid and I know you want to do the right thing. So when you're in here, can we just stay focused on what we need to get done?
Yeah.
I mean, you just have to identify the problem and move forward. I could have gone to lunch after the class and said, David is driving me off, you know, my ledge over here.
But, right.
And it's not because I'm a better person that I'm not trying to sound.
It's just being intentional.
It is a lot of work and a lot of really studying and thinking about what is it that I need to do to improve this situation, not just fuss and moan about it.
Right. I'll quote that Band-Aids episode that I referred to last week by Laura Tremaine. You know, we can either slap Band-Aids on it and just live with our problems or start working to improve them. Yeah. And I think complaining, like you said, is a distraction, but then it's also like putting an infected Band-Aid on us. You know,
yes. Yeah. And it's just going to get worse and yucky. And
right,
we don't want to be a part of that world. I mean, we only have so much time on this earth, so let's just make the best of it.
Right.
And I know our jobs are hard. It is not easy to shape human beings. We're building people and brains, and that's a big task, and it's overwhelming sometimes. And we might need to just get it out. Mm-hmm. That's fine, but just have a solution. Just remember the but,
or ask for a solution, or
seek one. I'm having this problem. Do you have any advice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. We just can't dwell in our complaint.
No.
Okay, another idea that was shared was, and this is kind of along the same lines, is thinking on what you get to instead of have to do. So I work out with the Peloton app. I do the strength workouts on there. And Jess Sims, she's a great instructor, and she's so positive. And she's always saying, you get to do this. Not everybody gets to exercise.
That's really true. Yeah.
And so we get to be the leader of people. We get to have these moments with our kids. I think we can think about all the things we get to do instead of just thinking, I have to go to work. I have to teach reading or math, whichever subject, you know, you're not that big of a fan of.
Don't be an Eeyore. Don't be an Eeyore.
Oh, man.
Over your head.
That's right.
I mean, if you think about this job we get to do, Laura, that's awesome. We get to be a part of a lot of lives and make a difference in our world. That is a big deal. That is a big deal. They are learning so much more from us in math and science and reading and English, and they're learning so much more.
We get
to do that.
Uh-huh. And it's such a crucial time in their lives.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's really an amazing opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Focus on what you get to do.
That's right. And then going off of that, you know, finding some way to practice gratitude, you know, and maybe that's you making a chart or you just forcing yourself. If you catch yourself complaining, switch it, you know, and think about the gratitude. Or like they've got quoted here that from the no complaining rule, that research shows that when we count 3 blessings a day, we get a measurable boost in happiness that uplifts and energizes us.
3 things.
I mean, just 3 things.
Yes.
So Natalie, that we interviewed, I think on episode 10, she'll close out her nights with her kids, a lot of times her own personal kids, and just asking them what they're thankful for or what they're grateful for their day. And so I think you could make that a daily practice when you put your head to bed.
Tim and I, because we're empty nesters, you know, it's just 2 of us. But every night when we eat dinner, we pray together. Mm-hmm. And we always say something good that happened that day. So, and his prayers are so beautiful. But I think that's a good way to just if you're, you know, if that's your thing in your prayers, count your blessings, list them, mm-hmm. name them. If it's not your thing, write it in a journal. I mean, mm-hmm. write it down. Put it on a sticky note. Put it on the dash of your car. So it's out there. Put it on your mirror.
And I think we can do this with our classes. You know, sometimes during the week, we can have people turn and tell each other something good from today or something we're thankful for our class or our school. Or for math or, you know, something, because the kids are living in a negative world too.
Yes,
we've got to help them.
And they have no choices.
Oh, no.
They're just at the mercy of adults around them.
They're going where they're dropped off every day.
Yes.
So, yeah. So I think practicing gratitude can not only be something great for us to do on our own, but to kind of share with others.
You can't have two thoughts occupy your mind at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that part. If you're focusing on gratitude, then you can't be negative. It's physiologically impossible to be stressed and thankful at the same time. So you can, they talk about really energizing and engaging your coworkers by letting them know how grateful you are for them. My Aunt Becky taught for 40 years, and almost every day, she would put, back then it was change for the snack machine and the Coke machine, and write a note and put it in their mailbox, a different teacher every day, and say, "I hope you have a great day. Buy a Coke and enjoy it on me," or something, just some little thing. Or she'd give them a little piece of candy, or so she would buy Avon, they always have those at schools, Avon books. She would buy little hand lotions and give them out. She just did stuff like that all the time. And how uplifting is that?
That is very uplifting.
Yeah.
It just feels so good, when you get a little, just even a note. It doesn't even have to be something, that's purchased.
It
just feels good.
It does feel good. Okay. The next one is praise other people.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of complaining about what they're doing wrong, start focusing on what they're doing right.
Man, I don't know what I was listening to the other day, but it was something about a couple went out to dinner and they had a code word for when, the conversation is miserable for me, that they would say to each other or text each other. And the lady could tell that the man was slipping into, he was about to send the SOS to save me from this conversation.
Uh-huh.
But they were later in their night, they started talking about it. And he acknowledged that he was miserable. But he turned and just asked a question to the guy that was driving him crazy. And they found out they had a connection, and the conversation was so much better the whole rest of the night.
What is that from? I read that somewhere.
Oh, I don't know. We share all the
same from Brene Brown. I think it's...
I was just thinking about, the more you get to know a person, the more you see similarities between each other, or you can understand and be empathetic because you know more of the person's story. So, I think when, you're always going to have that coworker down the hall that drives you nuts or is mean to you, it's just going to happen. Yeah. And so we can dwell in that land of not liking them and not enjoying them, but also we can have positive intent and thinking about, okay, what do I like about this person? What could I like about this person? What similarities do I have, and build off of that?
Yeah. And what did they do well? I mean, they have gifts too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, point out mistakes so they can grow and learn. And this is with kids, I think, but make sure you give them three times as much praise as criticism. I think that is so important with kids. I think for every no, I think this is a parent. I don't think you can tell kids no about everything.
Right.
They stop listening. So mm-hmm. three yeses for every no, three positives for every negative. When you are dealing with kids and they are, I think this really is huge with dealing with students. Find the thing they do well, because right now they're not feeling very good about it. It'll help them be grateful, and they'll start to feel better. Mm-hmm. But just try to think about that. If I give three times as much praise as I do criticism, what's that going to do for a person?
Yeah. Man, wouldn't this be a cute little partner activity?
Yeah.
having them turn to each other, maybe rotating around the room with different partners, and they have to praise each other for something.
That'd
be great. That would be so hard for teenagers to do, but by golly, they need it so bad because they're down in the dumps about themselves.
I know. I have my kids are so sweet. They are so sweet. And we do, I think I've told you this before, but so we do every other day we work on fluency, and we have fluency passages, and then just it's called a rate packet. And my kids will cheer each other on, and it is the sweetest thing. You did great on that one. And they mark each other's scores down, and they said, last time you did so-and-so, and today you did, you're growing. And they've not made it a competition with themselves, but just, it's just
it's all about growth.
It is just great. Mm-hmm. I love
but I do not think they would do that without you providing the culture and cultivating it to be that way.
Well, thank you. I think you do set the, you are the weather maker. I do think
you are the weather maker. Mm-hmm. Always. Mm-hmm. Okay. Another thing that you can do if to try to get out of this negative mindset, really, it really is to focus on success. So, and this is kind of like thinking about the good, but really thinking about accomplishments or something that you're proud of or some success that you had today. So a little bit more dialed down from just tell me something good, but an actual accomplishment or success that you had today. And that may be getting out of bed without pressing snooze. Which is a true accomplishment for me.
Before the alarm.
That's right. That's right. But I think, you know, again, we are just trying to create new pathways in our brain, mm-hmm. And to get out of those ditches of negativity and start filling it in with positivity.
That's true. Yeah. And for the things that you can't do anything about, let it go, let it go, let it go. Just like the song from Frozen, just let it go.
Right.
Focus on what you have the power to change.
It is, let go of things. It is amazing when you think about.
We cannot change people.
Yeah, absolutely. We can influence. We can try.
We can model
and we can help and guide, but we definitely can't change. Or initiatives coming from our state, or, you know, the way that your principal responds to situations. And so I think when you, you know, we're all going to have those situations because we're working under humans and with humans. And so just thinking about what we can control. Yes. And, you know, like I've worked in a ton of different schools and some have been great and some, you know, the administration was very difficult to work with. And if I just focused on my lane, my mindset was great. Mm-hmm. But when I only focused on the initiative coming through and the way that, you know, things were being led, then you know, I was tainted. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just have to let it go.
I guess that would be the word, wouldn't it be?
It froze up for a minute.
Oh, yeah, right, you froze up too. Would it be tainted? Well, would I say mean tainted? Okay. I mean, it would become toxic, a toxic mindset. So
yes, it is toxic. And there, I mean, we have to have jobs, right? We need to work. And I,
we do.
I know that sometimes we feel locked in. But if it is so bad and so toxic, go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. There are other things. There are other places you can go. You don't have to stay in a situation that's toxic.
Well, and I think about, you know, it is, you may be in a very.
Lunch is.
Oh, I lost you again. But, you know, you may be in a very bad situation, but it's not all bad. So really trying to, you know, if you're trying to finish out a year or two more years in your current situation, you know, thinking about what is good and what you can control and really just zoning in on that, and you're going to be a lot happier through your committed time. Okay.
I found for myself, if I start feeling that the culture around me is negative, that if I just stay in my room and work on what I need to do for my students, then I don't have to hear that.
Right.
I can play some music at lunch or break time or whatever. And and I've got plenty to do, so I can work. And yeah.
It's true. Well, I think, and you know, you don't have to change your lunch bunch. You don't have to change your friend group, but you need to counter it. You know, if it is full, and then you need to start thinking about how you can maybe implement some of these ideas that we've shared and start shining some positivity in, you know, into your bunch. Our girlfriend group, we'll go out to supper, and sometimes conversations get kind of heightened, and we'll act like there's a button in the middle of the table, and we'll be like, change the topic. It's like, all right, girls, this is over. You know, we got to talk about something else. Yeah. And so I think, you know, you almost can do that mentally, or you can share that with your group and be like, okay,
we've been Laura.
Grappling enough. Time to change the button. Let's be positive, you know, or talk about something else. Yeah.
Let's pivot.
Oh.
Okay, the last one, Laura. You want to share that one?
You know, it's either meditation, intentional thinking, or prayer. And I would include exercise. You know, mm-hmm. something about to reduce stress, to take care of your body, to boost positivity, you know, just to promote overall being. You know, that mind-body connection is huge. And so if we're not taking care of our bodies, then of course that's going to come over to our mind, and the same, you know, back and forth.
Yeah. Yes, it does. So you just have to be intentional about that
mm-hmm.
and decide, you know, meditation is a practice. I'm not very good at it, but it's a practice. It's mm-hmm. not a goal.
No.
So we're not trying to reach some pinnacle of success with it. It's just a daily practice. And so just unplugging and recharging, I think, is important.
Mm-hmm. I led a meditation the other day with the youth at our church. And I just asked them before we started it, I said, how much silence do you have in your life? I said, I know I don't have much because I'm reaching for my phone. I'm listening to music. I'm listening to a podcast. I'm calling a friend or something. Mm-hmm. And I said, is that similar to you? And they were all like, yes. And I said, well, I just want to challenge you to really try to think about, where can you get some silence in your life? Where can you have some downtime? And I think it's a must. And right now it's spring. It's the best time to be, besides allergies, which you can hear in my voice. It's the best time to be out. And that's a great way to unplug. Don't take your phone. Don't take anything. Just walk and notice. So,
yeah.
Okay, guys. Well, we know you're still here because we know you didn't press stop. No. But again, just start with step one. Just notice. Start noticing your conversations, your inputs, how much negativity is coming out of your mouth, and how much negativity is being put in your body. And then you can start thinking, okay, what can I do about it? But if we don't ever stop and notice, then, you know, I think we have to notice first before we start making plans.
I think we have to be aware, self-aware and aware of what we're thinking, what we're putting into our
mm-hmm.
minds. Yeah, yeah, I think so.
And that may be a lot of unfollows coming your way.
Yeah, I did that. I've done that.
Yeah. It's just going to have to. So
those are healthy boundaries.
Those are healthy. Yeah, and it's not just good for your students in your classroom. It's good for you. Mm-hmm. You cannot handle all that negativity.
No,
in your
you
life.
Can't.
Yeah.
No.
So, all right.
No, be a bright light.
Be
Every
a
day when
bright
my students
light.
Leave, I say, go have a good day, make good choices, be kind to others. And they have started finishing my sentences.
Okay, say it again because I missed it.
Good choices.
Oh, make it.
Mm-hmm. I say, have a good day, be kind to others, make good choices, and I'll just start it and they just all finish it.
They're like, yes, Ms. Kim. So, oh, man. Okay. Well, we will see you next week, and I cannot wait to share next week's episode.
Oh, it's going
to
be exciting. I can't wait either.
We're not going to tell you what it's about, but we're going to tell you that it's awesome, and pump your friends up and tell them to be ready for next Wednesday. All right, listeners, thanks always for joining us. Have a great week.
Have a great one.